Good morning, brethren. It's nice to have you here. And we're going to begin this morning with our theme hymn. It's number 271. Number 271. Ask Brother Richard Stewart to ask a blessing on the convention.
Our gracious, loving Father, we bow our hearts and minds in thy presence this morning, desirous of thy spirit that might abound upon those that will direct our thoughts during this convention, and upon each heart bowed before thee, that we might absorb and appreciate and utilize the information imparted to us from thy word, that we might be strengthened and encouraged to walk more faithfully, realizing the wonderful opportunity that thou hast extended to us to participate in blessing all the world of mankind under the arrangement of the new covenant that thou hast graciously afforded, that all mankind may learn to know and love thee as we do, and desire to serve thee with all thy heart. We realize the awesome responsibility, our total unworthiness to have such a wonderful opportunity. And so we would, Father, that through the services of this convention, we might be inspired and strengthened and encouraged to walk more and more steadfastly, that we might be come an image of thee as we see in thy dear Son. We're thankful for his faithfulness because we realize it is only through him that we have this privilege. We ask thy blessing then be upon us and upon those that are with us on across the air, and also upon those that are desirous of being here but unable because of illness and other constraints. We ask these favors and leave ourselves in thy care and keeping, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Richard. Well, we're going to begin this morning with the devotions, and we have first we'll have Walt Schroeder read today's manna, and then the morning resolve by Robert Bennett, and the vow by Brother Alex.
May 28th, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, so long as we feel entirely contented with present conditions, ourselves and our surroundings, we are absent from the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:6. Excuse me. If we were living near to Him, walking with God, we would not feel perfectly satisfied with present attainments, conditions, etc., but would feel like pilgrims and strangers seeking a better rest, a better home, which God hath in reservation for them that love Him. But this, as the Apostle explains, verse 7, is true only of those who walk by faith and not by sight. But we are confident, full of faith toward God, we rejoice to walk by faith, and are well pleased rather to be from home, homeless, pilgrims, and strangers on the earth, and to be at home with the Lord in the spirit of our fellowship. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, so long as we feel entirely contented with present conditions, ourselves and our surroundings, we are absent from the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:6.
My morning resolve. My earliest thought I desire shall be, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord for grace to help. I will pay my vows unto the Most High. Remembering the divine call, gather my saints together unto me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. I resolve that by the Lord's assisting grace, I will today, as a saint of God, fulfill my vows, continuing the work of sacrificing the flesh and its interests, that I may attain unto the heavenly inheritance in joint heirship with my Redeemer. I will strive to be simple and sincere toward all. I will not seek to please and honor self, but the Lord. I will be careful to honor the Lord with my lips, that my words may be unctuous and blessed to all. I will seek to be faithful to the Lord, the truth, the brethren, and all with whom I have to do, not only in great matters, but also in the little things of life. Trusting myself to divine care and the providential overruling of all my interests for my highest welfare, I will seek not only to be pure in heart, but to repel all anxiety, all discouragement, all discontent. I will neither murmur nor repine at what the Lord's providence may permit, because faith can firmly trust Him, come what may.
A vow unto the Lord. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy rule come into my heart more and more, and thy will be done in my mortal body. Relying on the assistance of thy promised grace to help in every time of need, through Jesus Christ our Lord, I register this vow. Daily will I remember at the throne of heavenly grace the general interests of the harvest work, and particularly the share which I myself am privileged to enjoy in that work, and the dear co-laborers everywhere. I vow to still more carefully, if possible, scrutinize my thoughts and words and doings, to the intent that I may be the better enabled to serve Thee and Thy dear flock. I vow to Thee that I will be on the alert to resist everything akin to spiritism and occultism, and that, remembering that there are but the two masters, I shall resist these snares in all reasonable ways as being of the adversary. I further vow that with the exceptions below, I will at all times and in all places conduct myself toward those of the opposite sex in private exactly as I would do with them in public, in the presence of a congregation of the Lord's people. And so far as reasonably possible, I will avoid being in the same room with any of the opposite sex alone unless the door to the room stand wide open. Exceptions in the case of brethren, wife, children, mother, and natural sisters, in the case of sisters, husband, children, father, and natural brothers.
Thank you, brethren. Thank you. And would Brother Dan come up for us, please? And perhaps while he's coming up, I just want to mention one thing in particular. There's some messages of love. And these are from Sister Earlene Allen, Sister Joy Blackham, Sister Blackman, and Sister Betty Yon, Brother Ron Miller, and Brother Jerry and Sister Dolores. And just one more point, too. There's a room number 210 for children, and Brother Aaron Martin has the key to that. So it's specially set up then for the children, and hopefully that can be a help. Well, now we have the welcome by our dear Brother Dan, and we'll ask Brother Bill Gill. Is actually we're actually going to have him do the prayer on the next discourse, so I may not have clearly mentioned that to him. I apologize for that. So anyway, Brother Dan.
Well, dear brethren, it's so good to see so many bright and shiny faces from our in our hall here today, and we just want to welcome you on behalf of the Puget Sound Bible students to this May 2011 Memorial Day Weekend Annual Convention. We trust that the Lord's blessings will be upon each heart and mind here as we share together the beauties of holiness contained in the Word of God. And may its sweet influence comfort you, give you joy, peace, and rest. Isaiah 49 says, O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up to a high mountain. Now we have all heard of and have experienced mountaintop experiences full of blessings. And you know, it was on Mount Moriah that Abraham offered Isaac and received him back in figure from the dead. It was on Mount Sinai that Moses received the law. It was on Mount Horeb that Elijah saw the wind, the earthquake, the fire, and the still small voice, and he was encouraged by this vision. And it was on the Mount of Transfiguration that Peter, James, and John saw the visions of the kingdom. So we feel that this weekend should be a mountaintop experience of blessing to learn more about the Lord's word, plan, and kingdom. It is our prayer that this convention will thus prove to be such an experience and fill us with a better understanding of the vision. And in particular, we will have the privilege of learning more about the covenants and specifically the new covenant. When this topic of the new covenant came up for our study and was nominated by one of the brethren, it thrilled me. Something about it just struck a chord. And I was excited at the possibility of looking into the process and the inauguration of the new covenant, which promises blessings to be poured out for all the families of the earth. As I thought about when I first learned about the new covenant early in my consecration and when I did a little study of it, at that time it was a source of inspiration. We saw in it the entire plan of the ages. In fact, the study of the covenants, we would say, is the divine plan. For God proposes to have no dealings with his beings except it be on a basis of a covenant. The first covenant was made with Adam, and the law was written on the fleshly table of his heart. When the Heavenly Father created Adam in his image, he knew Adam had the ability to keep the law. Adam's trial was a just trial. The law is a strict one, for even one deviation of it means death. On the other hand, the keeping of the law means life everlasting. Father Adam's disobedience, we are informed by Paul, was with full knowledge. And so the penalty pronounced was just. In the Jewish age, however, when the same law was given to Israel by Moses as a covenant, God knew they could not keep it. In fact, they would now be doubly condemned, condemned in Adam and under the law covenant. Now, it's strange it may seem first that God would choose the nation of Israel and then bring them into a double condemnation. But we who have come to know something of the love of God recognize that greater purposes were involved and needed to be served to have Israel's affairs so arranged. But as we examine the plan of the ages, we see hidden in this strange act great wisdom. For you see, it wasn't just the law that was given to Israel, but the promises handed down to them from Father Abraham. We are informed that God's dealings with Israel were typical, the law being a shadow of good things to come. To the Jew, the law was a schoolmaster, teaching of their inability to live to a perfect standard and to help them realize their need of a Redeemer. And those who lived before the first advent had the privilege of living above the law by faith in the promises. In so doing, they will have a better resurrection. And those living at the time of our Lord, who were thus taught being properly exercised by the law, were led to Jesus. For as many as would be thus accepting of him, to them he gave the power of the Holy Spirit to become begotten sons. With this, they would have the opportunity of becoming the antitypical seed, the privilege to participate in the priestly sacrifices, and to become part of the high priest class Christ had embodied. And not only so, but to also become part of the antitypical mediator, a better mediator. Thus, Christ head and body would become the better mediator with better sacrifices in the blood of bulls and goats, who will mediate a new and better covenant with the nation of Israel and all the righteous proselytes who will become Israelites indeed. It is because of these better sacrifices that not only has the penalty been paid and the condemnation of sin removed, but a highway of holiness prepared whereby the unclean may enter and by the end of the way be clean, be made perfect, be able to stand before God as perfect men in covenant relationship. As we read in Hebrews 10:1, for the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things can never, with those sacrifices they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. The sons of God during the gospel age, through the power of the Spirit of the truth, will have the privilege of coming to know something about the plan and character of God exemplified in it. And so our purpose is, as in any study, to allow the influence of the Holy Spirit of the truth to sanctify our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Psalm 25:5. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee I do wait all the day. I also wanted to share something of a blessing we had. It was over Skype with Steve and Rosalie. We were considering 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, and it was in connection to some discourse a brother gave and how he was applying it. So we were discussing it quite in depth. We won't cover all the details of that chapter, but we wanted to share a little bit of the blessing. Paul states in 2 Corinthians 3:3, and this is the Bible Basic English Translation, for you are clearly a letter of Christ, the fruit of our work, recorded not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in stone, but in hearts of flesh. Paul realized that as a result of the ministry of the work of Christ that was going on in the hearts of the Corinthians, that they were becoming more and more an epistle of Christ. And this also encouraged him and blessed his own application of these principles. He likened it to the writing of the law in the heart, but not on tables of stone, but on fleshly tables. And so we see here a privilege that is ours to assist one another in this writing, helping our brethren make their calling and election sure by assisting them in the writing of this law in their hearts. And no better way can we do this than by example, by striving to be living epistles. As the pastor states it in reprint 4391, it is well that we preach the word. It is more important that we live in it. Now, Paul didn't take any credit, but attributes the writing of the Spirit of God, stating that his sufficiency was of God. So anything that he was able to do was dependent upon the Lord. And later in the chapter, he tells us that the Jew had a veil upon their hearts. They were blinded by prejudice. They couldn't see that Christ was the fulfillment of that law. But this isn't true with us, those who have come into Christ. For in 2 Corinthians 3:18, Paul states, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord." So as Moses beheld the glory of God and the glory shone upon his face, we also behold the glory of the Lord and are changed. The scripture states we are unveiled without any veil of prejudice or fear or superstition, but with simplicity of heart and mind. We behold as in a glass, that is, as in a mirror, the image of God. Jesus is the express image of the Father's person. We see into the mirror of his word, which is exemplified also in the living word, Jesus Christ. As we look into the mirror, what a glorious vision we have of divine justice, wisdom, and love and power. We see justice in Adam's condemnation, but also in the provision of his Son for our ransom. And we mark the love and mercy of God, who made such grand provisions through his Son for our salvation. We see in this plan of salvation great wisdom and how he intends to bless mankind through these covenant arrangements and the various blessed arrangements of the kingdom. And we see the power of God in the resurrection of Jesus, in the preparation of his saints, their exaltation to have a share with Christ as King, Priest, and Mediator. And we see this power will be manifested in the better resurrection and then the general resurrection. And to aid us in this study, as we consider him, as we consider the promises of God, as we consider the covenant features, we are promised the blessed influences of the Spirit of the Lord will guide us into all truth and show us the good things to come. All this changes us if we submit to these influences. Being not conformed to this world, we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. We are changed from glory to glory, and will have the light of his truth shine in our hearts and countenance. In Sermon Book, page 712, in connection with the potter and the clay, the pastor states, "Whatever the potter shall do to the clay will be an honor to the clay." Without the exercise of his power and skill, it would never be anything more than clay. And to be made into a vessel of more or less honor would be a blessing indeed. Romans 9:23 says, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. And Ephesians 3:16, that in the wealth of his glory he would make you strong with power through his Spirit in your hearts. So again, dear brethren, we welcome you to this mountaintop. May you see in the study, in the discourses, in the fellowship, in the examples of your brethren this weekend, something of the glory of God. May this glory assist you in your transformation into the likeness of Christ, that perhaps you will find yourself closer in the spirit and likeness of the Lord and Master. And like Stephen, when you reach the end of your way, may your face glow as the face of an angel. Acts 6:15. Lord bless you all.